Thank you. If y'all will return to your seats, and I'd like to talk to you just a minute while you turn into the Gospel of John, chapter 6. We'll be reading verse 33 and forward. Verse 53. John 6, 53. I want to take a moment just to thank everybody. Most of you are aware I've not been here the last 3 weeks. I have been not well. I'll put it that way. But I thank you for your prayers. I thank you to thank Pastor John for being gracious enough to allow me to be here today. The Lord has put on my heart a message that I think is for everyone here. And I also feel it's for those who might be viewing over the internet, not only those that are viewing over the internet today, but those that may be viewing over the internet in the days to come. I want to thank y'all all for all your prayers that made it possible for me to have the strength to be here today. 3 weeks ago, I would go to the mailbox in front of my house, and by the time I got back inside, I had to sit down. I was completely exhausted. I have shared with Pastor John that since Janice passed away in August, my sleep has not been very good. Well, for about a week there, 3-4 weeks ago, my sleep was almost none at all. And I'll not go into all the reasons and causes, but y'all have prayed and God has seen reason to give me the strength to be here today. This morning, about 3 o'clock in the morning, I won't pretend like I hadn't been studying on what we're going to talk about today, but at about 3 o'clock in the morning, he woke me up. He says, "Lyle, today's your day." Amen. Excuse me. He says, "Get there early, talk with the pastor, and see if he'll let you share. And I will make the doors open for the message I have for my people today." So, if you'll join with me, and I'm going to be nice to y'all. I'm not going to ask y'all to stand while we read Scripture today. Y'all just keep your seat. But I will ask you to read along with me. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew right in front of you. And I'll give you just a minute to find John chapter 6. And we're going to start, as I said, in verse 53. Lord Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this assembly. We thank you for the love of Jesus Christ who has brought us all together. We thank you for the many blessings, all the provisions, the things you give us in our daily lives that we just take for granted. We take for granted that you're not always here, but you are. You are. Whether we're walking in your way or walking away from you, you're ever present until Jesus returns. And we praise you and thank you for the grace you've shown us. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Bless the reading of your word. Use me as your servant to deliver your message. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as a living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is a bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died. But he who feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life, yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled him." From that time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? We believe and know that you are the Holy One. You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Imagine, if you will, and it's not hard to imagine, most of the people Jesus was talking to here, they were in Capernaum. They were Jews. They had been taught by Moses, the law of Moses, to never consume blood, never drink blood. Heaven forbid cannibalism, eating flesh of a human. But yet here is our Lord and Savior telling these people in Capernaum, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no life in you. You have no hope. You have to drink my blood and eat my flesh. Now, let's see if we can get some understanding, because it was a hard thing for them to understand. And it may very well be a hard thing for you to understand today. And maybe that's the reason God put this on me so strongly, because you need to understand this. The blood God forbid us to drink is the blood of goats and sheep and cows and humans. Because God said in that blood was life. And he forbade it. The sacrifices, the blood was poured out, often sprinkled on the altar. In the ceremonial sacrifice, but never consumed by the priest or those authorized to eat the offering. Never consumed by humans if they wanted to obey God, because it was a command from God not to partake of blood. But the blood Jesus was talking about was a different blood. It was the blood of Christ, the anointed one. John chapter 4. Jesus is talking about to the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well, he says, you know, he asked her for a drink of water, and she sort of gave him a little trouble there, and he said, well, if you knew who I was and the water I had, you'd ask me for a drink. The drink he was talking about was water that he said, once you drink this water, you'll never thirst again. The water he's talking about is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the water that Jesus was offering the Samaritan woman at the well and has offered you. Some of you accepted and drank. Some of you are still hesitating. Some of you are saying, I'm just not thirsty at all. Yes, I know you think, Law, you're preaching to the choir. Well, maybe I am. But God gave me this message for somebody.
Amen.
God gave me this message for somebody. Somebody within the hearing of my voice is hearing something they've never comprehended before, maybe never heard before. But to drink of his blood is to seek the Holy Spirit. And once you have the Holy Spirit in your soul, you have eternal life. So it wasn't like the blood of sheep and goats. It was the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
You know, I believe it's John chapter 16 where he says he must go and comfort her. You know, the Spirit all dwelled inside Jesus as he walked on this earth. For that Spirit to work in all of us, Jesus had to depart from the earth and send the Spirit back to dwell in all of us. That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Those that believed, those that were there in prayer, received the Holy Spirit. Peter had to explain it to everybody around because they thought the people were drunk. You know, do you ever get the feeling people think you're a little bit crazy because you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I've been there and you have too, if you believe in Jesus. You must eat my flesh. The flesh is the Son of Man. John, first chapter. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So here's the flesh he's talking about. The flesh. This book right here. You've got to consume it. Now, how many of you feel comfortable going a day without food? Nobody's raising a hand. So, if this food, according to Jesus, is the most important thing, then how can we go a day without eating the flesh? You know, I have a good friend, a very good friend, that I don't see very often. That years ago, you know, most of you know my story. What really got my attention was waking up with a house on fire. Literally. And that day, this friend, knowing I was lost, come up and just $50 out of his pocket, because we lost everything. just hand me a $50 bill. Says, go get what you need. Later on, that man explained to me, says, you know, the Bible is, reading and understanding the Bible is like peeling an onion. The more you peel, the more you find out. And just reading through the Bible one time isn't enough. To begin with, there's a whole lot in there and you can't remember all of it. So you got to be reminded of it. So you read it over and over and over again. Just like I like chocolate. One bite ain't enough. I got to eat it over and over and over again. You got to read it over and over and over again. And if you do that, the more you do that, the more it will fill your soul with God's instructions. And God don't give us instructions out of spite. He gives us instructions because He loves us. I've used the example many times in Sunday school class that when you were a kid and you wanted to play ball, mom and dad wouldn't let you play in the street. Well, this wasn't because mom and dad didn't want you to have fun. It was because mom and dad didn't want you to get killed. God restricts us. God tells us there's certain things we should not do because they're detrimental to our health and our well-being and our soul and our spirit. We need to avoid these things. That's the reason God gave the law. Not because He was mean-spirited. Not because He just wanted to spoil all our fun. Believe me, as a Christian, you can have fun, but you can do it within the parameters of the Word of God. And the Word of God tends to eliminate confusion. Now, maybe sometimes when you read a scripture, that particular scripture tends to confuse you. But if you keep on reading, you'll find another scripture somewhere, and that one that confused you will come to mind. Oh, that's what he meant. See, that's what I'm talking about here. I'm sure many of you read this passage I read today. What does it mean? This is what it means. The blood is a spirit, and the flesh is a word. Put those two together in your heart and soul and mind, and you begin to more willingly, and it becomes easier for you to follow in the steps of Jesus. You know, Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him take up his cross, deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Rhetorical question. Have you talked to any, have you even mentioned the name Jesus since the last time you were here? Great Commission, go ye therefore and make disciples. How do you make disciples if you don't tell them about Jesus? Just something to think about. Now, turn with me to Luke chapter 6. I'm going to get y'all out of here on record time, I think. I've said that before and been mistaken. If you found Luke chapter 6, go to verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it is collapsed, and it is destructed, and its destruction is complete. Back in John chapter 6, it mentioned that when Jesus said these things, many who had followed him left. It was just too hard for them to take. They had no foundation. Jesus here in Luke is talking about all those that follow him and say, "Lord, Lord, you call me Lord, Lord, but you won't do what I tell you to." Well, if he is Lord, you know, I sort of forgot to mention first of this message what I was supposed to. This is Christmas time. We're going to soon celebrate the birth of Jesus. And the reason we celebrate the birth of Jesus is because he came with truth and grace. You know, again, I've said it many times. Maybe you've heard me say it, maybe you've not. Jesus never rejected anybody. The poor, the drunkard, the prostitute, the adulterer. He never rejected. In fact, he went after them because being the Son of God, with all the love that he had to share with everybody. Now, the Word tells us not to love the world, but God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen. And his name was Jesus. And this is a man that we're talking about here today. This is why he was such a great gift, because he came with truth. He brought us the truth. He brought us what we need to know if we're to expect to live eternally. We all know this right here plays out. Sooner or later, you know, it's appointed every man to die once, and then the judgment. Now, if you found among Jesus' followers and believers, that's on the death you'll die. If you're not, then you're going to suffer another death. Yes, Jesus talks about hell more than he talks about heaven. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you won't do what I say? And he gave some specific instructions in that Great Commission. He gave instructions teaching them whatsoever I have commanded you. Look at Matthew 10 and Luke 10. And you'll see what he commanded besides the commission. Have you looked at them lately? Have you eaten the flesh lately? how often you eat the flesh. This story he tells about his commands, and he talks about the wise man that digs down to the rock and builds a foundation on the rock, and the house becomes indestructible. This is where you dig. This is a rock. This is where you build your foundation, and your life becomes indestructible. Yes, this body will die, but your life will go on, and your life will go on with Him, not separated from Him, not separated from the source of all good things that we've been given in this life. If you decide not to dig down, you'll never get to the rock. You'll never be able to build a foundation this stable, and your end will be sudden and total destruction. You see, no one has a promise of tomorrow. Somebody in this sanctuary right here has not made a commitment. I come to church every Sunday. I come to church most of the time. But I'm really not sure yet. I think I can solve my problems on my own. I don't know that I need Jesus. Well, if you're in that frame of mind, I'll just ask you to answer this question to yourself. How's it working out for you? Are you satisfied with your life? Are you satisfied with your conditions? Do you understand why you're alive? Or do you sometimes wonder, why am I here? You're here to serve Him. You're here to obey Him. Because He loves you. And He means well for you. It's not that He don't want you playing in the street. It's not that He don't want you having fun. He just don't want you on that wide path of destruction. Satan's just waiting, eagerly waiting for the straggler. Peter refers to him like a roaring lion. Roaring lions catch the stragglers. If you're not among the sheep, if you've not committed your life to Jesus Christ, I'm not saying commit your life to me or Pastor John or Westside Baptist Church. I'm saying commit your life to Jesus Christ, your Savior. Whether you've accepted Him or not, if you've not accepted Him, He's not your Savior. Like I say, He never rejected anyone. Those many times, like the rich young ruler that came up and asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus explained to him what he must do. And it involved turning loose of some of the earthly things that he had in his possession. And he didn't want to do that, so he just turned his head and walked away. He rejected Jesus. Jesus didn't reject him. The scribes and Pharisees, the religious people, all bound for hell because they rejected Jesus. He didn't reject them. He questioned them. He attempted to correct them. They resented it because they thought they had everything already figured out. like some of you do. And they never realize they didn't. And if they're not in hell already, they're going there. I got my questions about where you spend time between your death and his return. Now, you know, that's another story for another day. But Jesus goes on to explain, you're dying your sins because you don't believe. Matthew 25. Jesus talks, and we're not going to go there, but you please read it sometime in the next few days. When Jesus comes back, he'll sit in judgment. And he'll divide sheep from goats. And there's another old, well, the man that baptized me used to say the difference between sheep and goats is sheep go baa and goats go butt. I'd accept Jesus, but that means I got to give up something. Well, so what? He gave up his life for you. The message is, seek the living water. Drink that living water, which is the Holy Spirit. Eat the flesh. Read your Bible. Read it cover to cover. Now, you don't necessarily have to start at Genesis and end with Revelation. I don't do it that way. I read different parts at different times, but I make sure I got, you can find them out in a little hallway between the two foyers. There's a little sheet that you can mark them off as you read them. And of course, that's not all I read, but I mark them off. I try to take Old Testament up to Job, read three chapters of that. What Job through Ecclesiastes or wisdom books, read a chapter of that and read a chapter out of the New Testament every day. That's my minimum. That's my minimum. And I'm not telling you that's got to be your minimum. One verse would be better than nothing. But hear me. When he talks about drinking the blood or drinking the living water or seeking the Spirit, however you want to put it, and when he talks about eating the flesh, reading this Bible, and following its instructions, repent, confess your sins. Repent from those sins. Turn to God. But something that Jesus says in Matthew 24, verse 13. NIV says, he who stands. King James says, he who endures. To the end, the same shall be saved. Don't give up. Baptists are fond of saying, once saved, always saved. John knows, I'm not real sure about that. Now, they fall back to, well, if he falls away, he never was really saved in the first place. Well, that may be true. I can't argue with that. But be careful. Be careful. Never give up. That one verse, and given time, I can show you many more. He who stands till the end will be saved. Now, I know And like I said, yeah, y'all gonna get out of here early today. There's someone within the sound of my voice that has been thinking. Am I really saved? Am I really sure? Do you know that you know that you know that when Jesus returns, you'll go with him and be with him in heaven? If you got any doubt in your mind, then I urge you, resolve that today. Jesus says if you go to the altar and make an offering, and you realize someone has something against you, then leave your offering there and go be reconciled with that one. If there's somebody in this group today that is in that situation, I'm going to ask you, as they're playing the music for the invitation today, go to that person. It may be hard, but the minute you take that first step, Jesus is right there with you to help you through that. If you've never made a commitment to Jesus, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, maybe you thought you didn't need him, and now today suddenly you realize you do, then this is the time. Again, no one in this room has the promise of tomorrow on this earth. Doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. It's not there. God loves you. But the drunk driver on the way home don't care a thing about you. You don't know. I've got a heart condition, among other things. And if God hadn't carried me along this far, I'd have been dead a long time ago. And the work that's been done, the correction that's been done by man, it could play out this afternoon. Don't leave this place. Don't turn off your computer without being sure of your salvation. Please, I ask in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the message. Let us trust in you that the message does its job. Isaiah says your word does not go forth void, but accomplishes that which you intended. We trust in that now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar's open. Pastor John, if you come up with me, and Devin, if somebody needs prayer or counseling or wants to accept Jesus, we're here for you.
Strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Say.
Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the rain. Lord, we trust in you. Your wisdom in giving us what we need far exceeds our understanding or our wisdom in what we need. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity now to return to you some of the bounty that you've poured upon us. Bless it now, Lord. Use it to your service and your glory, that your kingdom be enriched and grow greatly on this earth, that we hear those words when we return to you. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen.